In some ways, it builds up on what you heard last week from Romans chapter 12, because the themes are quite similar. But we're going to focus on loving your enemies, right? I think we all have enemies, and don't have to like them, but we must love them. Okay, and this passage can be so easily misunderstood in so many ways, and we want to be really careful as we navigate through these verses that we apply them carefully, because the Lord doesn't want us to be carpets to be stepped all over, right? On the other hand, he doesn't want us to have our hearts ruled with vindictiveness and revenge and bitterness. So that's the other side of it. So the application is very wide, and perhaps there's even more that can be said. So our focus this morning is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. It was a month ago we looked at the earlier verses, the distinguishing marks of Jesus' disciples, and we continue with verse 27. But I say to you who hear, this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. And in that connection, I'd also like to read Romans 5, 8, 9, and 10, because there it talks about how we were also enemies, and God yet reached out to us in Christ Jesus. Romans 5, 8, and 10. That's a little bit of a contextual part that we bring into the message this morning. Romans 5, 8, 9, and 10. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Well, that brings us to Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. Yeah, Jesus is in the midst of his speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. If you look a little earlier in the passage, there's multitudes of people. People have come from all over Judea and Samaria and other regions. They're listening to him. But his main focus is the number of disciples, the crowd of disciples that he's speaking to. And as they're listening, we're also listening, aren't we? We join them as Jesus speaks to us. And as we come to hear him with these words, we might feel just a little bit offended. Wait a minute, what? I mean, love those who hate you? Love those who mistreat you? What do you mean? I mean, bless those who curse you? Well, look what they do to me. Should I not fight back? Yes, we are to fight back. But the question is, how? How should we fight back? That's really the question. Should we fight back by retaliating, by taking our fist and socking them one in the face? Should we come with them with revenge and anger? Jesus commands his followers, those who belong to him, yeah, you make sure you fight back. Don't just sit there. Don't just do nothing. That's not your calling as a kingdom citizen. Just don't take it as it is. But don't behave as the sons of Adam do. Don't behave as the world does. You belong to a different kingdom. You belong to a new age. You belong to a new era. And here in Luke 6, 27 to 36, Jesus is addressing his disciples in their personal relationships with others. We're not talking about countries going to war with one another. We're talking about disciples in their personal relationships with other people, including enemies. Here, particularly toward those who just intensely dislike you, who hate you, who mistreat you. How should you respond? And the Lord Jesus exhorts us to fight back. Fight hard. How? By loving them. That's how you fight back. Don't ignore it. You fight back by loving them. Of course, that's a loaded concept. That's a loaded word, love. We're talking about a Christ-like love. And that love is a kind of love that, of course, sometimes is a love that confronts. It's a love that obeys. It's a love that is just. So we can't ignore the other factors of that love. But nonetheless, that love is a love where it's for the benefit of the other. It's not self-centered. Oh boy, he offended me. I'm going to get him back. No. It's a kind of love where you benefit the other person. It's for the benefit of the other person. And that's the goal, is to see that enemy reconciled to God. That's where Jesus is going here. And that's where Scripture goes here. So we want to see, first of all, this morning is, how in the world can I love my enemy? Well, we're going to see, first of all, that God gives the grace to love. It's not going to come from inside of us. It's his grace. He gives the grace to love. And then the second thing is, boy, does he promise a reward, and a great one, if we live this life according to what Christ commands here. Those are the two things. You see the first one under verses 27 to 31. He gives the grace to love the people that intensely dislike you. But the second thing is, we see in 32 to 36, he promises the reward of grace. But the grace to love. Look at verse 27. It comes as a command here. It's not a suggestion or perhaps, but this comes as a command how to behave as his disciples in his kingdom. But I say to you who hear, that's us, isn't it? We're hearing. Love your enemies. Who are your enemies? Well, your enemies are the ones who hate you. Your enemies are the ones who are mean to you, who mistreat you. They insult you. So we should hate them back, right? Like for like. If they hate me, I hate them back. Oh, that's the world. That's the coward's way. That's the worldly way. You know, that's the weak way, really. It's just, okay, you hate me, I hate you. No. Jesus says, no. That's, of course, that's our natural sinful inclination. But Jesus here says, love your enemies. The sense here is continue to love your enemies. Every day, all the time. It's in present tense. It's a command, but just, this should be a lifestyle. This should become a habit. Of course, it's learned. It's a lifetime of learning, right? But that's why the command is there, because we need to be continually reminded of it. The same word for love, by the way, that Christ-like love is also found in Romans 5 verse 8. It's that same word. But God demonstrates. He showed it. He demonstrates his own love toward us. What, after we were clean? No. While we were still sinners. Sinners are those who are rebellious. They're not likable. They're unlovable. While all that was there, what did Christ do for us? He died for us. It was for our benefit, for our salvation. This here was not a new command. Jesus says it in a new way. You know, they were teaching in those days in the church, you make sure you love your neighbor, but you can hate your enemy. And now Jesus, by saying love your enemies, he kind of startles his hearers. But it's not something that was new, really, because it was already in the Old Testament. It was already very clear. Leviticus 19:18. What does God say to his people? You shall not take vengeance, nor shall you bear any grudge, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Continue to love your enemies. And in the rest of verses 27 and 31, he shows us how to do that. How do we love our enemies? Of course, we're going to look later where we get that strength to do it from. But how? Well, there's six ways. So if you count the first one, love your enemies, there's seven, right? Something of a completion here. Wow, that's powerful. It's an encouragement. But the first way listed is in verse 27, the second part. How do you love? Well, continue to do good to those who hate you. If people hate you, you do good to them anyway. Now, Jesus is not demanding that we approve of the sin that they do. No, we must never approve of the sin. We must rebuke the sin. We know that from other places in Scripture. Right? We must not approve the evil that our enemies do to us. We should never be approving of that. Never, ever. Not at all. Because if we approve of that, then we only encourage more violence and more murder and more robbery and more hatred. No, crimes must always be dealt with justly according to the law, the court of law. But Jesus here, what is he addressing here? He's addressing the heart. Right? That's what he's addressing here. What lives in your heart, in my heart? What controls your heart? Is it the ruling thing of the kingdom, love? Or is it this, I'll get him back? What rules in your heart? That's really the point here. Jesus is saying, you harbor no spirit of revenge. Harbor no spirit of revenge. That's the world. That's the sons of darkness. That's what he's talking about here. Fight back with deeds of kindness. Remember Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan? Remember that? The Samaritans and the Jews. There was this continual feud between Samaritans and Jews. They hated each other. The Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans hated the Jews. And yet a Samaritan, as he's traveling on the road, he sees a Jew, one of those hated people. He sees him half dead. He says, I hate him anyway, so let him rot. No. What does he do? He did not want him to die. Instead, he got off his donkey. He took out his bandages, knelt down, bound him up. Not only bound up his wounds, but put oil and fragrance on them and wine. And then he himself doesn't sit on the donkey. He puts the Jew on the donkey, and they walk to an inn. And he says to the innkeeper, I'm going to stay here tonight, and I'm going to look after him. But tomorrow, he's going to stay here. You give me the bill, and I'll take care of all the expenses. That's an example. You say a clear example of what Jesus is saying. Doing good to those who hate you. Do good to those who hate you. More, he says in verse 28, another way. Oh, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. That can be a hard one. People that hate you, it's hard sometimes to pray for them, isn't it? But pray. Pray for them. On the cross, who did Jesus pray for? He prayed for those who crucified him. Father, he prayed, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Remember Stephen, as he was being stoned? He didn't say, I'll get you back. He was being stoned and pummeled with big stones, and he prayed, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Peter says this, Epistle Peter, if anyone suffers as a Christian, don't be ashamed about it. You just continue to glorify God in your life. So yeah, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. I mean, not just use you, but spitefully in a mean way. Pray for them. And then another way, two more ways in verse 29. Two more ways of fighting back. Jesus says, to him who strikes you on the one cheek, what do you do? Here, slap this one too. That's what he's saying. And from him who takes away your cloak, well, don't withhold your other tunic as well. Give that to him as well. Why did Jesus say that? Boy, what a quick way to end the cycle of violence, isn't it? Love wins. He strikes you, you offer the other, end. But now you strike him back. This continues. I strike you, you strike me, I strike you, you strike me. And pretty soon we have bloody cheeks, both of us. And it never ends. Reminds me of our two neighbors one time. They had a little bit of a war going on. And the one neighbor threw a little bit of garbage on his lawn, his own garbage. And another neighbor got him back and threw more garbage. And the next day, the other neighbor threw a big basket full of garbage and dumped it on his lawn. You know, this never ends. And it's just, what? It's spite. It's anger. That's what Jesus is addressing here. What's ruling your heart anyway? Who's controlling your heart anyway? Don't give in to that. Well, the good point, the point here is not, it's not literally offering the other cheek. It's not a literal thing here. Think of the at the cross, one of the officers struck Jesus on the cheek. Remember when he was on trial? One smacked him on the cheek. And what does Jesus say? He says, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if I have spoken well, why do you strike me? Jesus doesn't strike him back, but Jesus does confront him in his love. Love is just. Love isn't just walked over. Think of the Apostle Paul. Remember? He was beaten for preaching the gospel. He was whipped. He was put in prison by the Romans. And they didn't take into account that he himself was a Roman citizen. Remember in Philippi? After he baptizes the Philippian jailer and the family, what does Paul do? He goes right away back to prison again. He says, I ain't leaving. Even though I have permission to leave, I ain't leaving. They're coming here to get me out, my enemies. In other words, it's tough love. It's just love. But Paul wasn't doing it because he was being vindictive. He says, I'm doing it for the benefit of them, that they may come to know the Savior. Okay? So it's what you may call tough love, I suppose. But what Jesus is saying here is, don't resist your enemy in ways that come from an unloving, unforgiving, vindictive heart. That's not the way. That's not the way children should behave in God's kingdom. And by the way, if he takes away your cloak, it's better to give him your tunic as well. Now, by saying that, Jesus, if we literally did that, then I think thieves would readily come into our house and take more and more stuff until we're totally empty. Okay, so we can't take that literally. You know, pretty soon our whole home is empty because we're giving it to thieves. Then we're left with nothing. But his point here is a spirit of forbearance, long-suffering, even under insults. Think of this, you know, the Proverbs. Proverbs 15, verses 1 and 2 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Well, when we answer softly, right, it can be truthfully, no doubt, and firmly, but it turns away wrath. Last week, Pastor Gary reminded us from Romans 12, 18 to 21. I'll repeat that again. It says there, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And so, do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And finally, one more thing, verse 30, one more way to fight back is give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. What's Jesus saying here? When the Lord teaches his disciples that our attitude should never be one of revenge, I'll get you back. That's the proud, sinful way of the arrogant heart of Adam. You know, there may be times when, as a follower of Jesus, you see that maybe the better way out is just to allow that person to keep the stolen goods. There may be those times. And that's for us to discern. That's the best way for you to fight back. Why? For the sake of your own spiritual life, for the sake of the spiritual health of your family, your wife or husband, your children. You just let it go, because you know how easy it is for a root of bitterness to take control and destroy? I knew of a family, a husband, a father, who was very upset at the sin of his own father, and that controlled him all his life. Bitterness, hatred, he gave into it. You know what happened? It destroyed his family. It destroyed him. And sometimes it's just better. You know what? I'm thinking, you know, in terms of the spiritual health, my own family, thinking about what's the best course. Then, yeah, those are times where, yeah, we fight back in this way. You know, the world of unbelief says, you treat others as they treat you. That's the worldly way. That's the way of unbelief. But Jesus says, you treat others as you would have them treat you. You see that in verse 31. Just as you want them to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Continue to love your enemies. In these ways, he says, continue to do good. Continue to bless. Continue to pray for. Continue to offer the other cheek. And you say, well, how is this ever possible? How is this possible? Well, we know that in Adam, our sin has brought this alienation between God and us. There's that separation. Friendship is removed. That's what sin has done. And between us and others. And you see its miserable daughters. The miserable daughters are hatred, bitterness, revenge, retaliation. It's a messy life. It's a life of misery. It's an awful life to be controlled by when this is that beehive of activity of retaliation. That's what Jesus is saying. We need the grace, don't we? And God gives that grace to love, to continue to love our enemies. Look no further than to the cross of Christ. There you see it all. Love so great, so marvelous. The love of Christ, the cross of Christ, his death on the cross, whereby he came to overcome hatred, revenge, and bitterness also in our hearts. It's because of God's love, Christ laid down his life for us. For what purpose? to reconcile us to God. He, the perfect one, the innocent one, for us enemies, he came all the way, even to death on the cross, obedience to death on the cross. He fought back. How? By giving his life, and he overcame the devil and Satan. I mean, the devil and death, the powers of hell, the powers of sin. He gave his life. He didn't come with a sword. He gave his life to save us. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Wow, saved from those old ways, the ways of bitterness and vengeance. Saved from that. You know, God's forgiveness and love we need in order to love our enemies, don't we? It's just not in us. But we need, first of all, the gift of his forgiveness, the grace of his forgiveness and his love poured in our hearts. And then only then can that live in the hearts and lives of his disciples. It's powerful in witness. It's a powerful way to fight back because love always wins. It won at the cross. Learning to love our enemies, that comes with this. There's another incentive here. It comes with a great reward. And that's the last part of our text here. The reward, but it's a reward of grace. It's not something that we earn by doing all these loving things. We must understand that. But it is a reward nonetheless that comes by God's grace. And, you know, the tendency is that we want to limit our love. Limit our love to whom? Only to those who love us. Right? So we put boundaries there. This is my group. They love me, so I love them back. But Christ came to break, to overcome those boundaries, those limits, so that his love in us overcomes those boundaries, those limits. Look at verses 32 to 34. Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? So what? What's so great about that? For even sinners love those who love them. We're no different than those outside of the kingdom. We're doing the same thing as they. You know, the word for credit here is literally the word grace or thanks. What grace is there to you and by doing this? What grace is that? What thanks is that? We're not any better than those others who perhaps we might look down upon. That is, those who have no regard for God or for his word. Jesus says, they do the same things. Sinners do the same things. Then we're no different than they. What's the difference? Jesus goes on in 33, 34. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? But what grace is there in that? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you wish to receive back, well, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. Limiting our love to those who love us really is no different than the way the world behaves among their own. It's no different. It's just as self-centered, isn't it? Because you're only thinking about self. And that's why three times Jesus says, what grace is there to you in that? There's no credit in that. That riffraff of the world, they do the same thing. They limit their love too, to those who love them. But you know what? Sometimes we might say, yeah, but you know what? Those people don't deserve our love. You know, I've been loving them and loving them and loving them, and finally I had my limit. I'm not going to love them anymore. But then we have to ask ourselves the question, but wait a minute. Do we deserve God's love? What were we? Enemies. right? Haters of God, rebellious, still sinners. And God came all the way down to us to take us out of the ditches of sin and to wash us and to clothe us. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Can you imagine one who hates you, who never seems to respond to you, and you still lay down your life for that person? He loved us. We didn't deserve it. That's grace. Grace is something that we don't deserve. We deserve actually the opposite. By the grace of God in Christ, by the working of his Spirit. Yeah, you know what? We learn, don't we, to fight back. But we fight back with love. Jesus goes back to what he said earlier in verse 35. See what he says in verse 35? But love your enemies. Continue to do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And many times, you know, you think about those whom you love, who seem to be spiteful and harsh and so forth. Many times it just seems like that love is not reciprocated. It just seems to be one way. One way. And you may ask, well, to what lengths do I go? Look to the cross. Look at what lengths he came for us. All the way down. The infinite became finite. The creator became a creature. Look how what he did. Look how far he went to save us. He was obedient even unto death, giving himself, giving his life for us and in our place. For what purpose? To reconcile us. That should be our aim too. In showing love to our enemies, our aim should always to see them reconciled to God. What's the best way? That's always the question, right? Not compromising truth, not compromising with sin, but at the same time, harboring no ill will. Don't give in to that. That's giving in to the enemy. If you give in to retaliation and vindictiveness, you're giving in to the enemy. No. That's not the way to fight back. You lose that way. Fight back this way, says Jesus. You know, to all who, by the encouragement of God's Spirit, we can obey this command. Of course, the Spirit works that obedience in us, right? We want to obey. And God gives a special promise to those who live this life by God's grace. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. See verse 35? First, it's a reward of grace. It's not something we earn by our loving. But second, that reward is far greater than the sacrifice we make to endless degrees, it seems like, in loving our enemies. That reward is even greater than that. It will be great. And third, Jesus' most glorious description of the reward is this. What's the reward? You will be sons, children of the Most High. Boy, that's better than living in the king's palace on earth, any king. You'll be sons. You'll be children of the Most High. That's the reward of God's grace. There's one other reference to the Son of the Most High. You know where that is found? It puts you in a very special class. Remember in Luke 1, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announces the birth of Jesus, the Son of God? And what does the angel Gabriel say? You shall call his name Jesus. And he says of Jesus, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him his throne. Wow, that is a reward for, a reward of grace, mind you, for living that life of obedience to Christ's commands. Notice two things here briefly. First, as God's adopted children by grace through faith in Christ, what's that great reward? We share in the victory. We share in his victory in by loving our enemies. Doing good to them, overcoming evil with good. This is the fruit of Jesus' conquest, to share in that. Wow, he's delivered me from myself. He's delivered me from that nasty heart. He's delivered me by the grace of God. We need to go to him for that, to continue to learn those commandments, to walk in them. In Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We fight back, not with a spirit of revenge or bitterness or retaliation. For these things, we need to continually repent of, don't we? But with love and doing good. You know, sometimes by giving in, we only let hatred feed on it. And that's a horrible thing. We want to starve it, don't we? So that's the first thing. We share in the victory by loving our enemies. We share in Christ's victory. That's unique. That's what's different about Jesus' disciples. And one more thing. We now image or reflect them. That's what children do. They reflect the one who bought them, who belongs to them. They reflect their Father in heaven. Verse 35 says, for he is kind. Who is God kind to? To the good people, right? No. He's kind to the unthankful and evil. That doesn't mean he saves them. But God gives all these things. It's his call to them to repentance and faith, to reconcile themselves to him. He is kind to the unthankful and evil. And you know, think of sinful mankind. They just remain unthankful. They remain in rebellion, not responding in repentance and faith. And yet, God gives the rain. God gives the sunshine. Right? The point is, in all this, that Jesus says, and loving your enemies, the whole point is found in verse 36. We're called to mimic our God, to follow what he does. Be merciful. In other words, continue to be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. Yeah, we want others to know, right? God's mercy in Christ. We love them for their benefit, for their advantage, so that they too may be reconciled to Christ. And again, it doesn't take away the firmness of love or the confronting with love, but as long as always the focus on what Christ came to do to sinners, for sinners, is not to reconcile them. Love is the bridge. You know, selfish pride and revenge, those are walls, high walls. Christ came to break them down and be the bridge. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Fight back. Yeah, don't stop. Fight back. But fight back in the right way. Fight back by loving your enemies. That's a choice. Love is a choice. Love is a command, not just a feeling, but it's a command of Christ. He gives the grace. We can ask him for it. He gives it. He gives the grace. And also great is the reward of grace. Amen.